The new season of Famous Fates, titled Falls from Grace, is coming to a close. Each Wednesday, we featured two new episodes that focused on a different scandalous figure from history. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to the Famous Fates feed to find our entire season of Falls from Grace. These episodes are free and only available on Spotify. Today's episode features Gloria Graham. She was admired during the 1940s and 50s for her sophisticated acting style and was recognized by her signature lipstick. But she would soon become known for her tumultuous personal life, numerous husbands, and a spiraling career. Today's other episode details the story of Bobby Driscoll, a child star for Disney who voiced Peter Pan. But his life would end up being anything but magical. To hear it, head over to the Famous Fates feed on Spotify to listen for free today.
A warning, this episode features discussions of intimate partner violence and statutory rape that some listeners may find disturbing. We advise extreme caution for listeners under 13.
Gloria sat at her vanity in London, looking in the mirror. Her dress was perfect. Her face was perfect. She was almost convinced that she was perfect and ready for tonight's incredibly exciting event, meeting the Queen of England.
But her boyfriend, as usual, was there to remind her that whatever the public thought of her, however much she looked like a star on the silver screen, really, she was nothing.
He didn't want her to go meet the Queen. He hadn't gotten an invitation. And how could Gloria deserve one if he didn't?
He proved his point by dragging his nails across her back in a terrifyingly quick, violent move, one that left long red scars from her neck to her waist.
That night, Gloria pushed through the pain and covered up the marks with makeup, determined to be the star she was desperate to be.
But eventually, her endless personal troubles would slip out from under the cover-up and ruin her.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Richardson.
And I'm Carter Roy.
And this is season two of Famous Fates, Falls from Grace. This season, we're examining once revered historical figures whose stories ended in less than savory ways. Every week, we're bringing you two episodes examining the lives of two fascinating people in the same industry.
They were beloved for their incredible accomplishments until they were reviled for their sins.
This week, we're covering two Hollywood celebrities and their meteoric falls from stardom, starting with film noir actress Gloria Graham.
In the 1940s and 50s, Gloria was known for her sophisticated acting style and signature lipstick. But what really thrust her into the public eye were her tumultuous personal life and multiple husbands. As events escalated at home, Gloria's career backslid into oblivion.
We'll dig into Gloria's dramatic rise to stardom right after this.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Give the active people in your life something they'll truly appreciate. Performance apparel from Vuori. Whether they're into running, surfing, hiking, or even just casual walks around the block, there's something for everyone. And if you're not sure what to gift them, you can't go wrong with something from Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's the perfect gift and so comfortable. Get 20% off your first purchase today at Vuori. Vuori.com/Spotify.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. and the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
It was the summer of 1945. Frank Capra was casting It's a Wonderful Life, and he needed a blonde sexpot to play the secondary character of Violet Bick.
None of the usual suspects were available. He needed someone new. So he started dredging through the reserves of Hollywood's young, untried starlets until he got the perfect screen test.
22-year-old Gloria Graham was blonde, she was beautiful, and she was talented.
Capra was delighted, and as other Hollywood insiders heard about this gorgeous, talented blonde wandering around on Capra's set, they were delighted too.
For Gloria, the attention, as well as the part, was welcome. She'd always been shy and insecure. That's why she loved acting. When she was playing a role, she could make herself into someone bigger and stronger, at least for a little while.
But suddenly, Hollywood was telling her she should feel that way all the time. And not just with compliments. As soon as Capra cast her, everything changed. She was, it seemed, a star.
Stardom, Gloria found, meant all kinds of good things. First, there were the parts. They were coming in droves. In 1947 alone, the year It's a Wonderful Life finally came out, she was in 4 films. Then there were the parties, the red carpets, and the publicity jobs.
She was on the cover of Life magazine in the fall of 46. She received her first Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress in 1947 for her role in Crossfire.
It was everything Gloria could have dreamed of.
Unfortunately, if she'd hoped the world's adulation would wipe away her insecurities, it didn't. In fact, it made her more anxious than ever about earning the role of Hollywood star. She had to be perfect, and she never felt that way, especially when she looked in the mirror.
More than anything, she hated the ridges of her upper lip. She did her best to cover them up with makeup, using elaborate combinations of lipstick and liner to create optical illusions of a full, smooth lip. Some of her Hollywood compatriots jokingly referred to these creations as her many mouths.
But Gloria didn't want many mouths. She wanted one perfect mouth. So she turned to surgery.
In the 1940s, plastic surgery was still a very new practice, one that came with risks. But Gloria didn't care. She was a star now, and she had to be the most beautiful version of herself, even if it involved a knife.
And after all, these were small operations, just plumping up her lips to get rid of those ridges. Then, once she got into the swing of the surgery business, it made sense to shave down her jawbone as well.
She was inching closer to perfection with every surgery. She could feel it.
Unfortunately, she never felt quite there. Her insecurities didn't go away, and they were only compounded by her failing marriage to actor Stanley Clements.
He'd made her feel terrible from the day they married. The fights had been endless.
At first, it had seemed like passion. But as Gloria's star rose, Stanley's jealousy and paranoia increased, and the fights got louder, meaner, more physical.
Gloria couldn't do it anymore. She had to get out, focus on her career, on being a Hollywood star. She needed a man who'd support her in that, not hold her back.
So in 1947, she filed for divorce.
The separation was a relief. Perhaps now she could really enjoy the delights of stardom, even if her appearance wasn't quite perfect yet. Things were getting better, moving in the right direction.
And Hollywood, still enamored with this beautiful new starlet, agreed.
In 1948, Gloria began working on A Woman's Secret. She played a naive young singer who's eventually killed by the two leads. It was her biggest role yet. She was more than just a love interest, and she got lots of screen time.
Gloria was delighted and determined to take full advantage of the role. If she demanded perfection of her face, she wanted perfection in her films too, especially this one, the first time she really counted. Plus, she liked the director, Nick Ray. She wanted to impress him.
So she became more assertive. She made suggestions about blocking and lines, as well as makeup and costumes.
And Nick Ray was impressed.
The pair started dating during filming. When filming ended in 1948, only one day after Gloria's divorce was finalized, they were married. 5.5 months later, they had their first baby, Timmy.
Unfortunately, the relationship quickly started to look alarmingly like Gloria's first marriage.
Like Stanley, Nick was a gambler and drinker. Later in life, Timmy would recall staying with his father as a teenager and waking up to find that Nick had literally gambled away the house while he was sleeping.
Gloria bailed Nick out of his debts, but she didn't mind that so much. It gave her a chance to berate him and to insinuate she would leave him.
Which gave him a chance to respond with anger, increasingly the only attention he'd give her.
Once again, Gloria's relationship was providing horrifying evidence for her worst fears, that she wasn't good enough, that she didn't deserve attention and love, much less stardom. Only this time, she didn't try to push those feelings away and escape her marriage. Instead, she threw herself into it, determined to make Nick show that really he loved her.
But Gloria's increasingly erratic, belligerent behavior stayed at home for now. Co-stars and crew alike all loved her and raved about her kindness. As far as Hollywood was concerned, Gloria was still on top, and even Nick, in his role as a director, had to admit that.
In 1949, Nick was brought on to direct a picture with Gloria as the lead. The line producer, Robert Lord, made Gloria sign a contract that stated she would always follow Nick's direction while working on the film.
And she did. On set, the pair was amicable and always professional. But as Nick went through rewrites of the film, In a Lonely Place began to parallel the jealousy and paranoia in their marriage. Partway through filming, Nick moved out of their home. In December of that year, Gloria filed for divorce.
But then Gloria stopped the suit. In May of 1950, the couple bought a new house together. Perhaps the film and a little time apart had helped them work through the demons plaguing their relationship. Regardless, it seemed that they'd agreed to move on from their troubled past and start again.
But Gloria couldn't move on from In a Lonely Place just yet. Once the film was released in early 1950, she made headlines in a controversy called the Great Nightgown Debate. Gloria had clearly been nude underneath the bedsheets in one of the film's scenes, and the public was up in arms about common decency. The most vocal complaints came from nightgown companies, who thought that the public would stop buying nighties if Gloria Graham wouldn't wear one.
But things were going well for Gloria. She'd made a good picture. She and her husband were in a good place. Her lips weren't dragging her down too much now that her husband was showing her love.
So she reacted like the real star she knew she was, with nonchalance. All she told the press was that, of course she always slept in the raw. Why wouldn't she?
The next few years matched this breezy, confident tone. They were the busiest and most lucrative of Gloria's career. She had roles in 15 films between 1950 and 1955, all while taking care of her young son, Timmy.
Things with Nick, meanwhile, stayed relatively calm and peaceful.
But in her worst moments, Gloria couldn't stand the calm. She needed fireworks to feel loved. Perhaps that's what led to the disaster that struck next.
In the summer of 1951, Nick's 13-year-old son, Tony Ray, came to visit Nick and Gloria at the couple's house in Malibu. Tony had never met Gloria, but he knew she was an actress and a beautiful one.
Nick was apparently pulled away for filming the day Tony arrived, so it was up to Gloria to keep his son entertained. She was frantic, unsure about what teenage boys like to do. But when Tony arrived, Gloria forgot all of her worries. The two allegedly had an instant connection, and not the connection of a stepson and his stepmother.
According to Nick, when he came home later that afternoon, he allegedly found 27-year-old Gloria having sex with Tony. He immediately flew into a rage, smashing anything breakable he could get his hands on, and stormed out of the house.
A few weeks later, the couple filed for divorce, and Tony was back at home with his biological mother. It's unclear if this version of Gloria and Tony's story holds any truth. Her third husband told the New York Post, "It's fiction," and Tony and Gloria never spoke publicly about the allegations.
However it ended, Gloria's second marriage had blown up spectacularly. But unlike her first husband, Nick was a high-powered director who had the power to ruin her. If the vile rumors about Gloria's infidelity got out to the papers, she'd be blackballed in an instant. Her future rested in his hands.
After the break, Gloria's status as a Hollywood star is threatened.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now, back to the story.
In 1951, 27-year-old Gloria Graham and her husband, director Nick Ray, separated after Nick allegedly found Gloria having sex with his 13-year-old son. This story didn't make it into the papers at the time. It remained a rumor between close friends of Nick, Gloria, and Tony, one they all confirmed and denied at different times.
Thanks to that quiet, for the time being, Gloria's career was doing better than ever. She worked on the movie that would bring her an Oscar, The Bad and the Beautiful, and another Oscar winner, The Greatest Show on Earth. These would become some of her most acclaimed films.
But even now, after the disastrous end of her last marriage, Gloria wasn't one to languish without a man. She needed the affirmation of love. And by April of 1952, Gloria had already found herself another serious relationship with comedian Cy Howard.
Gloria and Nick had only been separated about 6 months at this time, and their divorce hearings were still a long way off. The tabloids took note, painting the story as a scandal, but at first it seemed to be your average acceptable Hollywood scandal. Gloria's career wasn't affected.
On a personal front, Gloria was affected. Cy, like all the men she'd been with, was possessive and jealous. Gloria spurred him on, hungry for the passionate, angry fights that in her mind spelled love.
That combative relationship proved the catalyst for the first major blow to Gloria's career.
In 1953, Gloria was invited to the Academy Awards with a nomination for Best Supporting Actress. She was anxious for weeks leading up to the event, desperate for everything to be perfect. She'd be up against some of the biggest names in Hollywood, and this would be the first televised Oscars in history. If she didn't win, she'd be humiliated. But if she did win, Gloria knew she'd have to look and sound perfect for her adoring fans.
As the day drew closer, Gloria became more and more worried. On set, she kept the anxiety under wraps, but at home and with friends, the Oscars were the only topic of conversation.
On the day of the event, Gloria waited in her trailer for Sy to pick her up, dressed to the nines in her gown. Her face, meanwhile, was bare. She wanted to wait to do her makeup until the last moment to ensure it didn't run.
When Sy came in, he demanded she leave her face bare. As usual, he was jealous, and today his point of contention was makeup.
Gloria was just as adamant that she had to look perfect tonight, so she locked herself in the bathroom and created one of the most lavish lips she had ever drawn.
Unfortunately, by the time the fight and the lips were done, she had no time left to do any other makeup. The result was a half-finished, almost washed-out appearance. This is part of what started rumors that she was drunk at the show.
The other origin of the rumor stemmed from what happened when the winner of Best Supporting Actress was announced.
Gloria waited with bated breath and trembling hands while the nominees were listed. She was up against the likes of Jean Hagen for Singing in the Rain and Colette Marchand for Moulin Rouge. Gloria felt it was almost impossible that she could win against such talented actresses.
But just in case, she had prepared a speech with Sy, something witty and charming, something that would really blow the socks off the American public, who were seeing the award show for the first time on their televisions. Luckily,
because Gloria won.
She turned to Sy and gave him a kiss, then quickly made her way to the stage. She stumbled slightly as she reached the stairs. The lights were much brighter than she expected, but that wouldn't stop her from getting her award. She made her way across the stage, smiling from ear to ear, then took the statuette from the presenter.
But after all these weeks of tension, after the distraction of that fight with Sy earlier in the evening, perhaps thanks to the distraction of her unpainted face, Gloria's mind went blank. She stared out at the sea of clapping spectators, and then, instead of her funny, delightful speech, she gasped out a breathless, "Thank you very much."
As soon as the words left her mouth, Gloria darted off stage, mortified. She'd won the award, but she'd been a failure at receiving it.
And just like that, the public's favorite up-and-coming star had started her own downhill descent.
Tabloids quickly spread the news that Gloria was a narcissistic drunk who didn't believe in thanking her castmates and crew for their efforts. The rumors only grew as Gloria meekly repeated that she simply had stage fright, and at one point revealed that she had allowed her son Timmy to use her Oscar as one of his dolls.
Gloria tried to turn a blind eye to these smear campaigns, but the stress only made her insecurities grow. She went in for plastic surgery again, this time on her upper lip to shorten the despised ridges, but instead the doctor paralyzed her upper lip. Gloria was mortified and started stuffing her lips with cotton to hide how little they moved.
With multiple surgeries and some experimental dentistry over the next few years, she was able to move her lip again. But throughout the rest of her career, Gloria would show up to set without any notice, covered in bandages from some new surgery. It became so drastic that in some of her films, it's clear that she has different features from one scene to another. One magazine gave her the nickname, "The Girl with the Novocaine Lip."
Nothing was going right, and Gloria was cracking under the pressure.
For the first time, her anxiety started spilling over from her home to her film sets, to disastrous effect.
While working on The Big Heat, Gloria continuously wiped off and redid her makeup right before takes. She also refused to hit any of her marks, making it impossible for the cameraman to keep her in focus. But arguably the worst issue was that Gloria would perform a scene and get notes from the director. Then, in the next take, she would do something completely new.
She claimed that since her character was unstable, she too would be unstable.
Perhaps that relationship actually went in reverse.
Thanks to this erratic behavior, Hollywood insiders were starting to get just as skeptical of Gloria as the press. But she was still a big name and a talented actress. Perhaps she deserved a little leeway for some diva behavior on set.
In 1954, she was given one last chance. And it was her highest paid, biggest role to date. Ado Annie in Oklahoma. She'd get $100,000 for the role. That's close to the equivalent of $1 million in 2020.
But if Oklahoma was Gloria's last chance, she blew it. She was an absolute menace on set.
She would reportedly do anything possible to try to pull attention away from other actors in her shot. She frequently interrupted filming halfway through a scene. At one point, she even hit her co-star over the head and pulled his hat over his eyes in the middle of a take.
By the end of the shoot, not one crew member or cast member had a good thing to say about Gloria Graham.
After Oklahoma wrapped, Gloria was effectively blackballed. She was never asked onto a notable film again.
She transitioned into bit parts on television and worked for low fees on smaller film productions.
Meanwhile, her already tense relationship with the press turned more sour than ever. She refused to give interviews about projects unless the studios forced her to. They'd played a role in her descent down the Hollywood hierarchy, and while her behavior on set likely played a bigger role, it was the pressure from the press that had caused that, too.
It was all the fault of the tabloids' petty rumors, and she wouldn't answer their silly questions.
Even when Gloria did show up for interviews, she always had what was deemed a bad attitude. 20th Century Fox executives claimed they were embarrassed by her behavior.
Meanwhile, Gloria's personal life, as usual, was devolving. At the end of 1956, she was 33 years old and a new mother to Mariana Paulette. But even a baby couldn't improve her destructive dynamic with Cy. In fact, it only made things worse.
In March of 1957, Gloria moved out with Paulette and Timmy in tow and went to live with her sister Joy in Van Nuys. She and Cy were officially divorced in October of that year.
Her career devolved alongside her marriage. In 1957, she was paid only $10,000 for her work in Ride Out Revenge. When times got tough in 1959, she accepted a role in Odds Against Tomorrow, which only paid her $5,000.
Gloria's golden years had officially come to an end.
But the press wasn't done with her yet.
In 1958, Gloria welcomed yet another love interest into her life, an old companion who she hadn't seen in over 5 years, her ex-stepson, Tony Ray.
Coming up, Gloria's last and largest scandal.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
New year, new credit scores. Chime makes it easier to build credit using your own money and on-time payments with the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. Use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. To apply, just open a Chime checking account with a qualifying direct deposit. There's no annual fee or credit check required when applying. Get started at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary.
Now, back to the story.
In the spring of 1957, Gloria was a 33-year-old, three-time divorced mother of two living with her sister's family in Van Nuys, California. Her career was looking just as bad as her personal life. After million-dollar roles like Ado Annie in Oklahoma, she was struggling to find parts.
Into this picture walked her ex-stepson, Tony, now 20 years old.
The attraction was still there. But Gloria, after three disastrous marriages, was hesitant to throw herself into what would likely be another explosive situation, at least as far as the press was concerned. She knew that a relationship with Tony could be easily misconstrued as incest.
Even Gloria wondered if there was something profane about her attraction to this young man.
To assuage those fears, the pair went to a psychiatrist in New York to discuss their relationship.
Whatever they determined behind those closed doors, they made the private decision that there was nothing untoward between them. And then, on May 13, 1960, they got married in Tijuana, Mexico.
Most of Gloria's family and friends accepted the marriage, even if there was a strange whiff of impropriety about marrying your ex-husband's son. Even if the age difference was a bit alarming, it's not as if Gloria's previous relationships had been any better.
And she was so down, with barely any work, perhaps this would make her happy.
But some people in Gloria's orbit were not so charitable. Cy Howard was appalled. And in 1961, he filed for full custody of his and Gloria's daughter, Paulette. He believed Tony and Gloria's marriage was hurting Paulette's morals and turning her against him.
Nick Ray was unsurprisingly even more furious. He refused to talk to Tony for years after the marriage.
But nothing compared to the censure Gloria and Tony received from the press. The story appeared in almost every publication in Hollywood, becoming Gloria's most infamous news story. Remarkable for a woman who'd already been gossiped out of Hollywood.
The tabloids railed against her, claiming that she was a terrible mother and tossing around the word incest liberally. Not one publication printed a word in her favor. And with less and less work coming in, soon all Gloria was known for was her relationship.
Gloria was understandably crushed. She had worked for years to hone her craft. She'd been a dedicated as well as talented actress, even if some behavioral issues had made her difficult to work with.
And now she was being thrown out of Hollywood by the press. Why should they have a say?
Perhaps if she'd been a man, none of her personal mistakes or her behavioral issues on set would have mattered. But she wasn't. And there were a million other beautiful girls lined up outside the studio doors, ready to take her place.
Gloria didn't have a choice. Newly married and 37 years old, Gloria left Hollywood and went back to the stage, where she'd started acting as a child and first built up her acting resume. But she wasn't even welcome on Broadway these days. She, Tony, and the children went to Massachusetts.
She managed to find work on small stage plays for 10 years on the East Coast. During this time, she gave birth to two sons, Tony Jr. and James.
But this quiet existence was far from peaceful. Cy had not given up on his plan to get custody of Paulette. The trials were exhausting and stressful. At one point, the anxiety put Gloria in the hospital. She was given electric shock treatments, a fairly common treatment for mental health issues at the time. But in a terrible twist of fate, the shocks permanently altered her memory.
Now she could barely remember her lines or parts of her own life.
But even that wasn't the end of Gloria's utter demise. The now teenage Timmy chose to move out and live with his father. Timmy felt that Gloria and her new family no longer had time for him. Perhaps he also wasn't entirely comfortable with treating his brother like a father.
And meanwhile, Tony was just as abusive as Gloria's previous husbands had been, both physically and mentally. When they divorced in 1974, he joined Cy by knocking down her door with demands for custody rights.
Gloria's agonizing stress continued right until the bitter end. It was when she went back to the hospital for issues relating to stress that she was informed she had breast cancer. She started radiation and did her best to fight the disease by getting healthy, giving up smoking, and putting all her attention into her nutrition. Gloria wanted to be able to see her children grow up, even if they weren't able to be with her.
For a time, it seemed her fight had worked. In 1978, the cancer went into remission, and Gloria even went back to work doing theater in London.
But in 1981, she suddenly collapsed in the middle of a rehearsal.
She had just enough time left to fly back to her family in the States, and on October 5th, 1981, at age 53, Gloria Graham died. By the time she died, Gloria's success and scandals were both in the past. She was one of many Hollywood starlets who made it big and then disappeared into a miasma of personal drama and rumors.
But in retrospect, what's most memorable about Gloria is her talent and her determination to keep acting and following her passion, despite the many compromises she eventually made to do so.
She might only have been the perfect Hollywood star she so wanted to be for a few short years, but she was an actress her entire life.
None of the men in her life could take that away from her, however much they might have wanted to.
Nor could they rob her of her final memorial, the beloved films she made iconic with her many mouths and all.
Thanks again for tuning in to Falls from Grace. We found the book Suicide Blonde, The Life of Gloria Graham by Vincent Curcio extremely helpful to our research.
You can find more episodes of Falls from Grace and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. We'll be back next week with another story of remarkable success and even more remarkable downfall.
Falls from Grace was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Dick Schroeder, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Falls from Grace was written by Addie Bruggeman, with writing assistance by Kate Gallagher, and stars Vanessa Richardson and Carter Roy.